Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go.
This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Today's episode is a look into the mailbag that we get now and again, because we don't really catch up on it as much as we should, so we're doing that. It's also pre-recorded so that we can have some time off over Easter. Let's be completely frank. That's why we're doing it.
Ready luck, when this goes out, I'll be sunning myself in the Isle of Wight with a double ice cream.
Oh, having explored. Will the Koinen be open, do you know, by then?
I think so, but I can't be certain. But certainly, put it this way, last year when I was there, they were very liberal about the arcades.
Right.
I think they'll be quite quick to open up the arcades.
Yeah, some blind eyes will be turned.
I imagine the mentality on the Isle of Wight is very much, how can I put this, a libertarian one.
It feels like almost a this and that offshoot of the UK.
It is a bit. And they're like, I can't imagine the local constabulary like really policing it, because they're aware that on an island economy, they'll be like, get the fucking coin in open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're the coin in capital of the UK.
You don't have to...
you don't see Vegas closing their casinos. Maybe you do, I don't know. Doubt it.
I don't think they closed anything in America. They're doing spring break in Florida, or they were last week, where teenagers come from far and wide and frolic in swimming pools. So I don't think they give any fucks. But
talking about that, you know, like the different attitudes that people have to life.
Yeah.
There's a podcast that I listen to, which has got nothing to do with me or our business operations or anything like that. Just genuinely, weirdly, a podcast that I just listened to.
Curious,
It's called the David McWilliams podcast. I don't listen to it all the time, but I dip in and out. Today I went for a long run, so I thought I'll see what he's up to. It's Irish,
right?
And he's like sort of quite a down to earth bloke, and but he's very clever, and so he sort of talks about and he's sort of like, in a way.
Well, quite a lot of us, Apart from the clever stuff.
He's Irish, and he's like, I don't know what his background is, but he's very well versed in economics and politics and global trends and stuff like that.
Mm.
But he talks about him like a normal person, not like some boring dickhead on the news.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so he tackles quite big subjects. I mean, you know, I'm Britain's best journalist. I find it hard to keep up sometimes, but I like it anyway. Because he's just like, you know, the thing about the global housing market is the reason it's fucked is because of blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is quite good. Anyway, he has guests on. He does it with his mate, and he has guests on.
Right.
And the guest he had today that I was listening to was talking about the rise of the far right across Europe.
Yeah.
Because now there's even far right mobilised in Ireland, which had never really happened.
Fucking hell, right?
And he got this bloke on who was sort of like a historian, but was also really interested in psychology and the psychology of history and the different ways in which people perceive themselves and how that evolves.
Yeah.
And he reckons that political leanings for a while in the 20th century were married to, you know, basically social status, class. You were more likely to be left wing if you were working class because of the union that kind of, you know, married you and everyone else together within your social class and all behind similar causes and so on and so forth. And since that's all broken down, people go in all sorts of different directions. And he reckons it's based largely on sort of psychology and culture that stretches back generations. So it's like the way in which we will lean, right, politically, the way our views are formed, very often are based on, like, evolution in your mind, right?
Well, passed down through the generations.
Yes, right? That's what you reckon.
DNA, almost.
A bit. But here's something. Here's the bit that I thought, it's quite interesting. This marries in maybe a little bit to the 97% theory or whatever. He says, this guy, his mate, he's like, and they all talk like this, so it's really good because they're very, very clever, but they just talk like normal fellas, you know? They're like, they're having a crack.
Just like us.
Having a crack. Yeah. Right? And they're like, oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is, but he's like, you know, big top academic, this geezer he had on as a guest. So he's, oh, he's done his research. I mean, one thing about us is we don't always do our research, but you see, listeners, that's because we don't need to.
Yeah.
Because life is our research.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we don't actually care all that much.
We don't care. We don't care. But this guy, he goes, right, these are the three. He goes, from all my studies of the psychology and the evolution and our cultural leanings one way or the other, he goes, there's three types of person. Ooh. He goes, you get people who think that now is pretty good. Mm. Now is pretty is a pretty good time and everything's pretty much fine.
Mm.
And those people tend to be centre-right. Centre-centre-right.
Right, yeah. Yep.
So a traditional Tory, someone who may have voted New Labour. Do you know what I mean? Of course, they're not naming any English parties because they're in Ireland, right? Irish. So they don't see it that way. They're talking about in the context of Ireland. Yeah, so people who think it's all right now tend to vote at the centre or the centre-right.
Mm.
Conservative. Let's just keep things the way they are. Then there's people who think that they think that now's not that great, but the future could be better, and they're optimistic that things can improve, right, if you make an effort. And those people tend to skew left. That's basically people with left-wing instincts, right? Mm. They kind of are open-minded about the future, they're curious, and they want to try. They want to experiment, Andy, like us. We love experimentation. Experimenters.
Yeah, I've always said that.
We are, at heart, if we are anything, you and I, we are experimenters, right?
Yeah, we are.
And then he goes, and then you've got the third type of person.
We are seekers.
We are seekers of experience.
And truth.
I feel that I often have felt in my role as Britain's best journalist and now one of the country's best loved podcasters.
Yeah.
Right? I think that I'm duty bound to seek out experience on behalf of
your listenership demands it, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. So if I see an experience, I have to just pounce on it.
Experience.
Yeah, I pounce on it like a hungry cat.
Yeah.
I see an experience on the other side of the street. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Right. But the third type of person is the sort of person who doesn't think today's very good.
Right.
And actually thinks tomorrow could be even worse.
Oh, shit.
But I tell you what they think's great. The past.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, they love it. Oh, no. They think the past was a Xanadu. And those people are the far right.
The far right. I was going to say that was me, but no, it's not.
No. Well, the funny thing is, I thought, well, me and Andy are quite, we're enthusiasts of nostalgia, obviously. But we don't kid ourselves because it's like, you know, you can't go back. That used to be one of our key catchphrases on this show.
Yeah. We luxuriate in the bath of nostalgia. We don't,
want to go back to it.
No, of course not. Jesus, God, no.
We don't want to go back to the past. It was stupid. And there was all sorts of awful things going on, right? I'm going to say it. Even in Euro 96, there were bad things. I don't want to go back to... I want to go in a time machine back to Euro 96 and live it.
But you do it differently.
But I don't want the future to become exactly like things were during Euro 96. I mean, there was too much indie pop in the charts. I see that
too
now.
Too much, yeah.
Indie pop's not a genre that I, you know, it's not something that I'm likely to put on my Spotify very often. But at the time, it just felt good.
It was wallpaper.
I see it's stupid now.
It was wallpaper, wasn't it?
It was wallpaper, yeah. There were some good songs. Pulp did some good records.
Yeah, they did.
Some toe tappers.
Yeah. I mean, there were some slightly iffy attitudes as well back in Euro 96. You wouldn't repeat them if you went back. You'd be a bit more respectful of, let's say, women.
Laddism was not something that it had its good parts, but it had some bad parts. So anyway, what I'm saying is, don't worry. Although we do like Euro 96 and indeed Italia 90, someone on a Facebook group recently claimed quite controversially that Italia 90 is better than Euro 96.
Fuck,
but I think they misunderstand. But
the football,
of course, Italia
90
is superb, but he's misunderstanding what we mean by Euro 96. By Euro 96, we don't mean a football tournament.
Mm.
We mean a moment, a happening, a cultural spectrum.
Well, Italian 90 was great in that sense as well.
It was, yeah.
It was the summer I turned 18, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know, fill in the blanks. Good. Jesus.
Yeah.
But a football-wise, nah. Nowhere near.
I mean, so, you know, you're saying, world in motion's better than three lines. Well, of course that's true. Yeah. But you've got to look at it as a whole. Like, you've got to look at it in terms of Barry Delaney owning a Macarena monkey. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was the sort of world we were living in. A world where your dad threw a big party with sexy ladies and had a mechanical monkey that danced and sang to the Macarena.
I don't know whether I should say this publicly or whether I should save this for the future, but I am currently on eBay watching a Macarena monkey with a view to putting in a successful bid. So let's see how that pans out.
My dad, who's selling it, he has fallen upon hard times in recent years. He was telling me recently he's got to flog his rig, which is a shame. He's got to flog his rig, and so he's worried about money.
Is he going to retire somewhere? Then? Somewhere leafy.
Well, he sort of is retired. I mean, he's in his 80s.
But I mean, like
I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he's that skint that he's. I think he just feels that he needs to sell it because he can't afford. He needs money for his essentials.
For his, this and that. Could he not move to the North East?
Yeah, I mean, I know. You are.
He could move to the North East. It's cheap up here.
I told him all these places he could move, and he's just... Nah. He treated my suggestions with utter disdain. To be honest, that's his response to most things that I say. Yeah. Understandably, you could say. But, yeah, I was like, why don't you try the countryside or something like that? And he says, oh, please. That's the sort of thing he says. Oh, please.
Oh, it's a catchphrase.
What's that mean, oh, please? Like, yeah. You know that sort of thing where a parent's just like, oh, you're always just a precocious child in their eyes. He just thinks, you're just trying to show off, Sam, by saying move to the country. You're not impressing anyone.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm just suggesting it'd be nice for you to move to the country, get more money, more bang for your buck. Sam, grow up. Oh, right. Fucking hell. Go back to your fucking mechanical monkey then, you nutter. Anyway,
well, ask him if he's still got it.
Flogging it on eBay.
Ask him if he's still got it.
I don't know. I think
he might be able to do it.
He might be selling it on eBay. You might be about to buy my dad's actual one.
In hell.
Jalapeño.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
If you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimeMachine.com.
Yeah, tickets are available there.
The links will be out there,
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
He's like, fucking hell, I'm in trouble here. I'm not going to be able to cover next week's Waitrose shop. The time's come. I'm sorry, Bobo, but you're going on eBay.
I thought I'd never have to do this. It's a watershed moment.
I feel like I'm flogging the family silver.
I feel like I'm selling one of my kids. You know, can I sell one of my kids?
I'd sooner sell one of my kidneys than you, but I've done that years ago.
Is it possible to sell one of my kids? I wonder. I'll sell Sam.
He's got enough of them. He's got fucking kids to spare.
Got kids coming out of his ears.
He's got so many fucking kids, it's unbelievable. And he thinks it's funny to go, I've got six kids. And then he thinks he's only to go, that I know about. And you're like, Dad, That's not funny.
You're not the Prime Minister.
There was a secret kid. That's not a joke anymore because you used to say that and then it actually turned out there was a secret child. So now you can't do the joke anymore.
Well, I mean, there's another one. Who knows?
Yeah. For all I fucking know, because you know what? He's always trying to low-key brag about the amount of women he's had it off with. Oh, even man. Though he was married to my mum from the age of 20.
Oh, God.
Or no, he was with my mum from the age of like 20, and she was 16.
Mm.
And then they got divorced, I guess, like, I don't know, when he was 40 or something, right? And yet, because he was like a road manager, yeah, for the searches.
Ooh, yeah.
And he was also a film extra in Carry On at the Khyber. So let's just say he lived a pretty glamorous life.
Who knows what went on in that set?
Yeah, I mean, these are the places that you want to be in the 60s. Carry On at the Khyber and on tour with the Searchers, right? And but he'll make little references quite regularly. Like, oi, oi.
Mm.
Like, not that he talks like that. He's super well-spoken, but he'll kind of go, yes. Yeah.
Ding dong.
But once he made a comment... Well, yeah, once he made a comment about Marianne Faithfull that I feel was designed to imply that he'd had it off her, which I think is bollocks. I think that's just him doing a Pele. Yeah. Marianne Faithfull, yeah. I could tell you a few stories about her, son, but probably best not. And I'm right there thinking, Dad, you were with my mother. God. You were married to my mother and all of my brothers. I mean, I wasn't alive yet, but my brothers were. So don't be bragging to me about women that you were shagging behind my mum's back in the 60s.
Marianne Faithfull, yeah. Both positions. It was the 60s.
She might have been faithful, but I can tell you, old Barry boy wasn't that night.
Oh, God.
Don't tell your mum.
Have you not considered the idea of maybe doing a series of podcasts with your dad?
I think we've talked about that before.
Because, I mean, listen, when I do Beans on Toast with my boy, and that idea was partially constructed in order for me to spend time with him so I can have something to listen back to, and he can listen back to them when I'm dead and gone and all that. It's putting our relationship, you know, on tape sort of thing. But, I mean, a series of episodes with Barry, wow.
Yeah, it would be really entertaining for you. And it would be really entertaining for, I think, everyone who listens, certainly everyone who listens to Top Flight Time Machine. It may be very revealing. It might explain some of my psychological issues.
It could go either way for you.
It would finish me off, mate. It would. You know, in Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter is in his cell, and there's a geezer in the cell next to him, and just to entertain himself because he's bored, right?
Yeah.
He basically forces the man in the cell next to him to kill himself.
Yes.
Just by talking to him and getting inside of his mind, right? That's what my dad would do. I don't think my dad would ever... I don't think my dad's agenda is to manipulate me into suicide, right? Mm. I'm not... He's not a monster. He's not evil.
No.
But he perhaps doesn't understand the power that he wields.
Yeah, of course.
You know, he will press all my buttons simultaneously. He'll be like, right, I've brought my deck chair. Podcast episode one, is it? Here's my deck chair. Yeah. Here's my slippers. Here's my book and here's my pipe. You wonder why? Because I'm about to set up fucking home rent-free and you're not, son. Oh, it's going to... I've decided where I'm retiring to. You know, I said I was going to sell the flat and you're asking where I'm going to move to. Yeah, I've decided I'm going to move into your fucking nut, mate. and I'm not paying any rent
I've
either.
I've brought some logs because there's going to be a log burner in the corner. I've got an armchair. It's going to be lovely. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you're right then in that case. Yeah,
it would be probably an insane podcast for the rest of you, but nah. If anyone out there values my, I hesitate to say sanity, but you know, just for me to have any sort of joy or hope in life, then I can't be podcasting my dad.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know,
fair enough.
Anyway, leave it at that.
Retract that. Yeah, pretend that never happened. What was this? A letter, weren't we? Yeah, here's one, because you mentioned the coins on the Isle of Wight. This is from Alistair, and it's called My Uncle and Being on the Coin, so I thought this might be interesting. The story of his uncle when he was younger. My uncle, my dad, and his brothers went on holiday in summer to the west of Scotland. My dad and his other brothers went swimming in an outdoor pool, while my uncle, being the oldest, was shown the coins by his mum. He was shown the coins because he was the oldest. It's the folk tradition there. It's passed down.
Yeah, it is.
He was then shown the coins, and it was then his job, I assume, to show his younger brothers. the coins as well.
Exactly, that's cousins. How it works, yeah.
That's how it works.
In the coining world, the coining family community, yeah.
It says he was hooked, and still is to this day, nearly 60 years later. Yes. He got all the money from his brothers with the promise of, I have a surefire method to win, I'll double your money. The Dawson method. See, there it is.
Yeah,
that's true. Obviously part of the folk tradition as well. It says, my dad and his brothers give him their money. He did indeed win, and he won big. He strutted off to the pool, pockets bulging in his knitted swim shorts, full of coins to show his winnings, but he made a grave mistake. He went into the water at the deep end to show my dad, and he sank like a stone. Panic set in. He was unable to float with the coins in his pocket. Fucking hell. I've just got to the end. He doesn't die. It's all right. The story then differs depending on if my uncle tells it or if my dad tells it. According to my dad, my uncle decided to take some coins out of his pocket, not many, to see how little he could take out before he could float with the most amount of winnings, only for him to give up and take them off completely. According to my uncle, the knitted shorts fell off him completely, and he had to retrieve the coins and give them to his older brother while he collected the spillage of coins on the pool floor. In both incidents, he ended up out of the pool stark bollock naked with his winnings wrapped up in his wet shorts, covering his modesty. The next day, they gave my uncle his winnings back, and he lost it all. The coins
what a sad story.
Can be a cruel mistress. And that,
they can.
That is the moral of the story. Yeah.
They really can. But I think the key is with the coins is, when you leave that arcade, you've got to leave it behind you.
Yeah.
Right? I have a line, and it's sort of like I cross that line out of the arcade, and all of the frustrations, all the mini dramas, the narratives, the psychodramas, I just shut them off and I'm back in the real world. For me, there's coin in life and there's the rest of your life.
Even that, the joy as well, if you come out of there and you've won big.
Yeah, don't come out swaggering.
Don't crawl
like you think
you've
Jack the Biscuit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Because I've seen that happen. I've seen people get carried away with themselves. When you're out on Civvy Street, which is what I call in a non-arcade, non-coining environment, right? When you're out there on the street, people don't know that you might have just won, I don't know, like a really good key ring, like you know, a Mario Kart key ring, or a small effigy of Del Boy Trotter, or, you know, whatever it might be. They don't know that you've just had a good day on the coins. They just see you as a normal person like anyone else. So if you start swanning into places, flashing around your trinkets your treasure.
Yeah.
Going in the pub, giving it like, right, drinks are on me, dickheads.
Yeah.
Right, people are like, who the fuck does he think he is? Because they don't know. They weren't there.
How many pints can I get for this Anna Montana keyring, love? Just don't do it.
Yeah, people have done that. People have done that. And it's like, it's really important to keep your feet on the ground. Yeah.
Because you're only one session away from being ruined when it comes to the coins. Yeah. One session
we've
been wiped out.
You know, there's famous stories. Of course, there are George Best. There are Rod Turners of the coining world. Yep. People who were superstars in their day and then are reduced to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
To leaving a trail of broken hearts behind them. Because you do get, it's a bit old-fashioned, I know, but you do get, and you certainly did in the old days, you got coining groupies. You did. I'm not saying it was right, but there were girls who would go on the toy, they'd follow the coining tour around, mainly, all around the coast of the UK. Right, and they would seek out the big, the top level coiners, right? The big money coiners.
Yeah, careful
what
you say,
Sam. The
ones who
were winning most of the prizes.
Careful what you say.
There was things went on. There were favours done. Sometimes in the arcade toilets.
Or around the back. Let's just say what happens on the coins stays on the coins. Let's just say that.
I'm not saying we've all been tempted, sure. Have we all acted upon it? No.
No comment.
But it was in its heyday before me and Andy got serious anyway. I mean, you know, my dad, when he was roadieing for the Searchers, he used to, because they'd often pay seaside towns.
Yeah.
And he got interested in the coins. And, those some of his stories about his sexual exploits do surround his time coining.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll tell me, you know, one night I was winning big. I mean, in those days, you'd win weird things like teeth or, you know, sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Weird shit they had in coining machines in the 60s. A small bag of dust, things like that,
A bolt, a metal bolt. for some reason.
Sometimes you could get a small thimble full of saliva.
Yeah.
Ugh. Right, which they would treasure.
Prize is a prize, isn't it?
It prize is a prize. And he'd win it, and then suddenly he goes, oh, I'd have all these women. They'd all want a piece of me. They'd all be hanging off my every word, you know. Oh, Barry, let me do a dance for you, all this
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And he goes, and the next night I'd come back and I'd win nothing and they wouldn't even look at me. They'd be on to the next bloke.
Yeah, it's very fickle and fleeting. I mean, that's probably yeah. what got you interested in the coins. It's that folk tradition. It's like the thing you talked yeah. about at the beginning, the political leanings. It's in your DNA and it's passed down. Yeah. It's just something that's in you.
I think that you are born... Are you born a coiner? Yeah, I think,
yeah, I think you are.
Most people are born yeah. coiners, aren't
you? I don't
you?
Think you can... I mean, you can teach coining, but... It's got to be in you to want to do it.
That passion yeah. that really drives yeah. you to be a it's serious that fire coiner inside like us,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
To be
yeah.
out, you know, rain or shine,
yeah.
first thing in the morning, banging on the door of the arcade before it even opens yeah. with your little pot of coins.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Some people simply have 2p pieces running through their veins.
Literally. Yeah. Mm. It's yeah. It's not for
Cut
everyone.
Cut them and they bleed 2p pieces.
Yeah. Right. We're going to end this episode here because. We've got a short period of time to record these pre-recorded episodes yeah. for the Easter break.
We've said enough.
We've said enough. So you shouldn't even be getting these because we just want some time off. We're just doing these to fill some time in. So you're not
getting...
Yeah,
this
getting,
is nice for you.
It's not going to be a 40-minute one. It's going to be 30... It's not even going to be 30 minutes. It is what it is. And I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll answer some more letters and stuff in the next one while you, Sam, will be sunning yourself in the Isle of Wight. Yeah. And I hopefully, if weather permits, will be on the hammock. So
I'll be coining my cock off, as we say in the coining community.
I don't think we can add anything more to that other than goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.